please turn to the Gospel of John. We're going to go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And we're going to read on a little further. The past couple weeks, if you recall, we've been looking at Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. We started in John 9. If you guys will remember, the attempt on his life in John 8. As he was passing by, he sees the man that was born blind. That didn't go over too well with those who should have been shepherds, but were not. And Jesus Christ manifested that love and that concern for God's people. Remember when he went back and found that man after he'd been cast out of the synagogue? And I love that record. I just have the greatest mind picture of what it was like for that man. Anyway, so, and then we picked it up in John 10 and went through some of the things regarding, you know, shepherds and the door of the sheep and what that means, and that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. Jesus Christ is the door of the sheep. There's no one other way into the Father but by him. And then we looked at some, and this, and I love this stuff. And this is so much fun in God's Word, just to go back and see, you know, where God said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to set up one shepherd. I'm going to do this. And then you see, you know, Jesus Christ. You see this fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And there's going to be an ultimate fulfillment. A lot of those things that are promised, they're all going to come to pass. You know? But we'll see some neat things this morning. And, you know, and in looking at this, you just see God's care for his people. And how much he really loves his people. And loves providing for his people. It's... You know, sometimes, you know, we get caught up in things and, you know, and in the moment we can forget that, you know, or it's not at the forefront of our thinking anyway. Maybe not necessarily forget it. But, you know, God's care is real. And you see it demonstrated in how Jesus Christ took care of people. You know, it's pretty remarkable. So... Let's pick it up in John chapter 10. And I'm going to start in verse, we'll reread a little bit. John chapter 10, verse 10. And it reads, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, you had these religious leaders who should have been shepherds, and they were doing harm to God's people. But the great thief, the great destroyer, is Satan. It's the adversary. He's behind all this stuff. And Jesus Christ, who came to defeat the works of the devil, came that we might have what? Life, and have it more abundantly. And that life, you know, as we read on here, that life is that spirit life that God accomplished in Christ, eternal life, you know, for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's pretty amazing. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, which is the ultimate care and sacrifice. In contrast to verse 12, but he that is an hireling or a hired servant and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling, the hired servant flees because he is a hired servant and cares not for the sheep. His service wasn't about the sheep. Now, a good shepherd in that culture typically wouldn't have put a hired servant in charge of his sheep for this reason. But they, you know, the hired servant was there for the job. He was there for the pay. He was there because he liked sheep. But he had nothing really invested in it. And it would have been a rare thing for a hired servant to be willing to lay down his life for the sheep. He was in it for the pay. Now, it doesn't make him a bad man, but there was nothing invested here. In contrast to the good shepherd, who would what? Would lay down his life for the sheep. And we're going to see that as we go here. Jesus Christ, by his own free will, would sacrifice his life. And Jesus Christ and the Father were in this together, carrying out what God desired to be carried out for men. It's pretty neat. So, let's pick it up in verse 14. Oh, I did want to mention one thing. Because this will come up again. The word for care here, the hired servant cares not. It's a word that means, like the object of care or the object of your concern. You've heard of the word marimneo. It's different. That's sort of to be divided in mind, like cares of the world, or it can be in a more positive sense, the care of the church, care for one another, those kinds of things, those distracting things. But this word is the object of your interest, the object of your care. And the hired servant, the sheep weren't the object of his care. See? So we'll just keep that one in mind. Verse 13, again, the hireling flees because he's a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. So know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. The Father knew the Son. So the Son, in the same way, would know his own. And we're going to see that a little later in this chapter. He would know his own, his flock that the Father put in his hand. Isn't that amazing? You know, in Galatians, there's a verse that talks about, the gist of it is that wonderful to know God, but the greater thing here is we're known of God. We are known of God. And we see that as we go here, the things that Jesus Christ is proclaiming. We are known by God the Father, and we are known by our Lord Jesus Christ. The sheep know him, and he knows his sheep. Isn't that beautiful? Verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. I think it was last week we read in Ezekiel 34. I have it written down here. 34:23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Jesus Christ as the good shepherd would shepherd those in this time that we're reading about during his ministry. There is also a future time when the promises to Israel will be fulfilled and he will shepherd Israel. So those are some who are not of this fold. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 13, keep your finger here, we're going to come right back. Hebrews chapter 13. This is great. We're just going to read this one verse. Verse 20, it says, "Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will." Isn't that beautiful? There's another great verse in 1 Peter. You guys are familiar with this. Yeah. Verse 21 says, "For even hereunto," in 1 Peter 2, "for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him, God, that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls." Isn't that beautiful? See? So, we too are part of this. And in Ephesians 1, there's a day coming when all things are going to be brought together in who? In Christ. Isn't that something? So let's go back to John 10. You know, you read some of these things and you'd see some of these things in the Word and some of the things that are going to come to pass. And I don't know, you know, what some of these things are going to look like. But the thing is that we're going to be with it. Isn't that something? When these things that we read about, when Jesus Christ, you know, separates the sheep from the goats, and he does these things, and some of the things we read about, we're going to be with him. It's part of his body. It's something. Okay, John, I should have kept my finger there. So, verse 16 again, "Another sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." Verse 18, "No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." You know, it's just such a great truth that Jesus Christ, by his free will, laid down his life. There's a scripture in Matthew. Keep your finger here. We'll come back. Thank you. Matthew 26. God bless you, Sammy. You've saved me before. That's where I want to go. Thank you. In verse 31, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, is in the middle of a verse in Zechariah. It's just boom, right in the middle of a verse. Verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then came Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. You know, I love these records because it's so human. You know, Peter, the last thing Peter would have thought that he would deny his Lord Jesus Christ. Yet he would. You know, and these other men that were with him, you know, us too will die with you. But the word would be fulfilled. They would be scattered. They would be scattered. You know, let's go back to John 10. When they came to get Jesus Christ in the garden, I think you guys, most of you are familiar with this record. It's in John 18. But it's when they came to get Jesus Christ. There had been several attempts on his life prior to this. And, you know, you read, he passed through the midst of them, he hid himself, and however that happened, whatever it looked like, I don't know. But I know this, is that no one was going to take his life. He would hand it over. During the Last Supper, when they were getting ready, it says, Now is the hour of the power of darkness. That time had come when he would hand himself over. When they came to get him, and you only read this in John, when they came out with the soldiers, the temple guard were likely with them. These were armed men. And they came out to get Jesus Christ. He stepped forward and said, Who do you look for? And it says they fell back to the ground. You just think about that. That is amazing. They fell to the ground. Who was in charge? Jesus Christ was in charge. He wouldn't lay it over. He wouldn't hand it over until it was done, until it was time. He always did exactly what the Father wanted. And you just think about those things. You know, and he had just gone through that time of prayer in the garden. Let this cup pass from me. Well, when these guys are picking themselves up from the ground, he says, I ask you a question. Who are you looking for? And he says, I'm him. You know, you leave the rest alone, which is what he prayed in John 17. Then Peter got a little rambunctious, cut off a guy's ear. Jesus Christ is still in charge. Heals the ear, tells Peter, put the sword. Put away the sword. Now's not the time. You'll die if you don't put that thing away. And he did. And they scattered. And it's at that point that Jesus Christ handed himself over by his free will. Isn't that amazing? You know, that's the authority that he had. And he and the Father did this together. They were doing it together. We're going to see that as we read on here in John 10. So again, no man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He has a devil. He's mad. Why do you listen to him? Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long do you make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, that they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Isn't that beautiful? We're in this together. God gave them me, and nobody's plucking them out of my hand. Okay. The sheep know him. He knows his sheep. Let's go, please, to John 21. And as we go there, you know, just a few minutes ago we talked about the hired servant. The difference here is that both the Father and the Son would pay an unimaginable cost for the lives of those sheep. Earlier he said, I give my life for the sheep. Jesus Christ, by his free will, would hand himself over. God allowed his Son and sacrificed his only begotten Son. And everyone who has called on the name of Jesus Christ is worth the life of Jesus Christ. Everyone. That's the investment that God has in each one of us. Isn't that something? These are things where you just consider it. Think about it. You know, the cost and the care that God has put into this. The work that went into bringing all this to pass. You know, where that price could be paid so that we could be his kids. We read the record where Peter said that he would not be offended. He wouldn't stumble. He would stand. And Jesus Christ told him, you'll deny me. When you read, and we're going to read just a few verses in this record here in John 21. But when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, Peter had run to the tomb with another disciple. And that other disciple believed. And they saw the grave clothes. They saw the napkin. But you learn later on that Jesus Christ had appeared unto Peter. Just him and Peter. And when I think about that record, it's Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Because Peter had denied Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ took care of Peter. I don't know what transpired, you know, between them. But boy, I just see that as Jesus Christ taking care of his own. You know, shepherding, putting his heart back together. It's just, you know, it's amazing. Well, this is a little bit later on. And it's a record, you guys, I think, are familiar with it. You know, there was a man on the shore, fire. Asked these guys, they'd gone back fishing, said, "Did you catch anything? Have any food?" And said, "No." So he says, "Well, why don't you cast out the right side of the ship?" So they do. And they got a whole bunch of fish. And Peter, at that point, realizes, this is the Lord. You know, and he puts his coat on, jumps in the water. He doesn't even wait for the boat to get back. And it's quite a record. So verse 14 of John 21 says, "This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these fish?' He said unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' And he said unto him, 'Feed my lambs.'" There's two different words used for feed in this record. This is the word that it means to provide pasture, food. The root of it is the word for nourish. Okay, it's to nourish my lambs. It sounds kind of similar to the charge that David was given to feed God's people, to feed Israel. And that food really is the Word of God. It's providing the Word for people. And this is what he's charging Peter to do. Feed my lambs. And he said unto him the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said unto him, "Feed my sheep." And this word for feed is, it's to tend, or you could handle it as a shepherd. Shepherd my sheep. And that would involve all that's involved, you know, to protect, to tend to, you know, when they're wounded, to guide, just all the things that come up and are involved. So that's what he's encouraging Peter to do. And then he says the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Do you love me?" You know, there's some great things happening here, though. Because by the time we're done, for Peter's heart, Peter knows Jesus Christ knows that he loves him. And this also speaks to the correct and to the really to the heart of what Jesus Christ is asking Peter to do, and that is, it's out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. See? It's really beautiful. So he's grieved three times. "You know, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." And this is back to that word, you know, to feed as to nourish my sheep. So, you know, you see this charge given to Peter to feed and to shepherd his sheep. And I want you to go to 1 Peter, and that's where we're going to close. It was Peter that on the day of Pentecost held forth God's word. And about 3,000 were born again. It was Peter that had been given the keys to the kingdom. It was Peter that held forth the word to Israel on the day of Pentecost. And then sometime later, he opened the door to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. He did some pretty remarkable things. But, you know, he was a man. He was human. You can read a record where he got caught up with some things from Jerusalem and was reproved by Paul that took place in Antioch, you know. But where we're reading now, you know, the important thing is where you land. People go through things. We all go through things, right? It's just, You know, that's the beauty of some of the records that we read in God's Word. And understanding the heart of our Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we will go through things. But the important thing is it's where you land, you know, and you see it with Peter at the end of his life. And, you know, I look forward to meeting him. I really do. But here in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says in verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed," and this is the word for Pat, to a shepherd, to tend to. "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but what? Willingly." Do you remember what Jesus Christ said to Peter? "Do you love me? Do you love me?" See? Willingly. And then it says, "Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a what? Of a ready mind." See, it's out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the heart of it. That's God's heart. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. And that's the heart of those who shepherd. And it's to shepherd among. And, you know, to tend to care for, but to feed at primarily, or I should, I don't know if I can say primarily, but I guess I should. Primarily, it's to feed God's word. You know, you can love people. There's a lot of things you can do for people, but ultimately it's going to come down to God's word. See, people need to believe God's word. They need to believe God's word for themselves. And that's what we want to help people to do, is to believe God's word for themselves, to learn how to stand on God's word for themselves. And to see God work in their lives. Not just to hear about God working in somebody else's life. It's like, I want him to work in my life, you know. See God's word, see his care, those kinds of things. And that's really the heart of it. And then it says, "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." See? That's what's proper. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away." Isn't that something? You know, we saw, you know, that night when they were getting ready to go, and Jesus Christ saying the sheep are going to be scattered. It's written, you know, "I will smite the shepherd." And then we read how that God raised that shepherd from the dead. See? And we have returned unto him, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And there's a day coming when he's going to appear, the chief shepherd. It's pretty awesome. Then it says, and I just want to read a few more verses, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And this is what that humility looks like. Casting all your care upon him. And this word for care is that word merimneo. It's that to be divided in mind, you know. Things that you're perhaps anxious about. Things that are, you know, going on in your life. You cast those to him. And then it says, for he what? Cares for you. See? And that's that word that means it's you're the object of his concern or interest. Isn't that something? See? You know, unlike that hired servant, God has the life of his son invested in us. See? He cares for us. Okay? And that's the basis of his care. It's pretty remarkable. So...